You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Yes, indeed. Oh, this, you know, we're not passing judgment here.
Okay.
You know?
It's just science.
It's just science.
Yeah. The Wire.
Today marks the one-year anniversary of the Grenfell Tower fire. A report from Auckland Council has revealed that 25 buildings in Auckland are made of the highly combustible aluminium panels with polyethylene cores. This is the same panelling killing over 70 people in Grenfell. Despite this, the council has come to the conclusion that these buildings are in fact safe. Included in the 25 buildings announced this morning are seven of the Auckland Hospital buildings and the University of Auckland's OGGB. I spoke with RNZ reporter Phil Pennington, who has been covering the story for them, and asked him to explain to me how these buildings are in fact safe.
Well, what's interesting here, Lucy, is that we have this list in the first place. We've been asking for it, and that it names the buildings and where they are. We didn't have that before. I hasten to add, Wellington and Christchurch City Council have not named their buildings. We've got over 120 buildings because you've got to factor in that at Auckland Hospital there are seven buildings on its list, and those are all possibly PE, clad with PE. The two types of cladding here in question are PE, that's polyethylene. That's the Grenfell Tower type. It goes up like a Roman candle. The other type is called FR, which is fire resistant. What is surprising, actually, is the amount of PE that is around, at least 25 in Auckland, but possibly up to as high as 80, because there are another 53 buildings where they're not sure what's on it. Christchurch has got 29 of those kind. And yeah, as you say, the assurance has been given that all of these are safe because of the other fire protection measures around them. On that score, you've got evacuation, you've got alarms, and you've got sprinklers. All of those have got problems with them, and I'll just say, like, to break it down, and basically, if you're at the top of a high-rise building and the alarm goes off and the sprinklers go off, you've still got to get out. And the thing with these fires, they're on the outside, the sprinklers are on the inside, and they're fast. So in both the Grenfell Tower fire and also in the La Crosse apartment fire in Melbourne in 2014 where nobody died, but also in fires in Dubai and elsewhere, these fires have moved extremely quickly up the outside of the building, but then of course being able to be blown back inside. So it's the getting out with the evacuation that could still be a problem.
So are there any precautions that the council has taken to address these external issues?
Well, they are, of course, alerting all the building owners to this. They've told us, Auckland Council, they've told the body corporates. The councils themselves have a limited amount of power in this, and the ministry, the Business Innovation and Employment Ministry, they will tell you straight up that they don't look after individual buildings. So the councils, if they had judged any of these to be dangerous, they could put in a dangerous building notice, but they've been very keen to stress that these aren't dangerous because of these other mitigation measures. But bear in mind that in large parts of the developed world, combustible cladding is not allowed to be on the outside of buildings. And in Britain now, in even the semi-combustible type, that's the FR type, not the PE, and that's what the rest of these buildings in Auckland and Christchurch and Wellington are. So we're talking, you know, a couple of hundred or 300. In Britain, there's a push to even get that banned because it's semi-combustible. 30% of that's got plastic in the core.
So the system has been shown to fail the fire tests by the British standard 8414. How did the council's tests differ from the British ones?
You mean the Auckland Council tests?
Yeah, or New Zealand, the ministry's tests?
Yeah, so the testing regime is not completely clear to me, although I've been reporting on this for months. To build with this stuff, there's various pathways you can take. That's the way our building system works. Very common pathway is to use a code mark certificate. Now, those code mark certificates are relying on tests that are done overseas. They do cite one in America, they cite the British test, and some of these code mark, the only certifier of code mark certificates for this panel product that's used in New Zealand is in fact in Australia. Now that's at issue because after Grenfell, a very top fire engineer called Tony Enright in Melbourne was called in by our ministry to look at how those certificates were being put together, and he said these are no good, the information in behind these is no good, and he called for the immediate suspension of those certificates while that was investigated. That was last November. That hasn't happened. Instead, the ministry asked for a second opinion. It won't release to RNZ that second opinion, and Tony Enright himself, unusually for a fire engineer, he went public with us a couple of weeks ago to speak of his concerns. He also feels that FR panels shouldn't be on the outside of buildings, and he cites the British test. We talked to the British Association of Insurers. They want FR panel banned. Of course they want PE because that's really combustible. They actually tested the test and they found that the tests themselves were faulty because they were using a non-realistic version of things. For instance, they didn't allow for buildings having a lot of plastic inside of them, and plastic burns much more strongly than wood. So in the test, they were just using wood. If you introduce plastic, you increase the temperature, you increase the speed of any fire, and real-world tests have to reflect that. And in terms of how this cladding reacts to it, the tests that are cited in the certificates that are behind why the panel can be put on in New Zealand, those are really in question.
So is there a better alternative to the PE and the FR, the aluminium panels?
There is. There's a third type. It's called A2. It's got a completely non-combustible mineral core, but it's more expensive.
So it just comes down to cost?
Pretty much. In Christchurch, I know that they looked at all their buildings and they found 29 with PE, 17 with FR, and none with A2. So when developers, building owners, they're specifying the stuff, it'll come down to cost.
One of the reports on Grenfell Tower, it states it actually could have been cheaper for the Chelsea Council to have put in place the FR and not the PE. Do you support this argument?
I don't know enough about that. I do know that from what I've read, and these of course are simply reports that you would have read as well, that the difference in price that I'd read about between the PE and the FR on the Grenfell, it was going to be about £2 per square metre more expensive to put on the FR panel than the PE. So it's not less expensive, but it's a minuscule amount that they saved by doing it that way. Margins in building, as we know, are really, really thin, and this is part of the problem, is that if you've got operators who are dealing, say, let's just say building products, cladding, and you can come in and undercut your competitor who's trying to operate above the bar, you can come in and undercut them, you have a real problem. What you've also got happening, and Auckland Council's been upfront about this with other products, not about cladding, product substitution. So if they're not watching what's going on the building site, the consent says they're going to use FR, or say A2, but on the actual building site, they supply PE because it's cheaper, someone pockets the difference, and that is happening.
So what do you think needs to be done, Phil? You've done a lot of research on this.
I have, but this is a really complex area and I'm not qualified. There are a lot of people who are thinking about these sorts of things. There are fire engineers who are agitating for change. Right across the building system there are people, but MB, fortunately, as a regulator who sits in behind this, they do seem to be slow to act. They have got severe stresses on their staff. We've done stories about the turnover of their staff. They did a big overhaul last year. That's still bedding in. What was quite shocking to me on this was that MB told me last year when I asked about the restructure, it was their first restructure since MB was set up in 2012, they said that the building part of MB, it's got 7 regulatory systems, the building part had been judged as the worst performing of any of their 7 sections. Mm. Now remember, this is after the Christchurch quake in 2011. How is it that the regulator of building and construction is the worst performing part of the ministry for years up until the restructure at the end of last year, which has not had time to bed in or to show any real effect? And we know that MB's got even more on its plate now, because after Fletcher, the failings at Fletcher with their building and interiors unit, that's raised this whole problem of risk transfer. You've got problems with product assurance, and now you've got problems, and it's directly related to cladding, is who is looking and monitoring this stuff? A lot of the fire rules on existing buildings, they are being monitored by people called independent qualified persons, IQPs. Now, they are not regulated. Anyone can set up as an IQP, and in a lot of cases, their reports are not being audited by councils, so the councils don't even know if their reports are any good, and they're the ones who are saying, oh yeah, the sprinklers. And sprinklers actually are usually okay, but like for other key things like evacuation routes, emergency lighting, passive fires, really important, because that's where they put holes through the walls and lets the smoke out. So imagine you're coming down a stairwell. I'm actually working in a building that is not sprinkled. Yeah, we've got two stairwells, but they're not pressurised, and there's going to be hundreds of people in the stairwell. If the passive fire is not right, the smoke will be getting in.
Also, it's a stressful environment, you know. It does cause chaos, and people don't think necessarily rashly in that environment, and so these pathways need to be as easy and accessible as possible.
Yeah, you sort of hit it on the head there, Lucy, in terms of evacuation. A lot of what Wellington City Council's big stress on when we asked them yesterday about the cladding was, we make sure that evacuation routes are the egress. Their big thing is about egress and making sure that that's okay. But in the real world, when that's been tested, and I would have to go back, but I'm pretty sure at the La Crosse fire, where no one was hurt, it still took them twice as long in the real world to do the evacuation as the plan showed it would.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.